Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hello, once again, welcome to the quest for 10,000.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Ben, and we're so thankful for you downloading this podcast and joining us as we explore with Brian his journey to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. Please do join the conversation. Check us out on Twitter at 10K Movies or on Brian's website, 10kmovies.com. Well, it's the time of year where the Hollywood movie making industry starts to pat itself on the back a little bit. Mm-hmm. We've already had the Golden Globes. And now we are getting ever so closer to the Oscars. Nominations were released quite a few weeks ago, and the ceremony is coming up in just about a week's time as you are listening to this. So, Brian, we thought we would talk about those movies that are up for the most prestigious award of 2015. Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking before, and I kind of casually asked you, how many of the Best Picture nominations have you already seen? And your answer was?
All eight of them.
To which I was just, I don't even know why.
He said
anymore.
Brooklyn? Which, you know, nobody's seen Brooklyn.
But, I don't even know why.
It's okay.
I don't even know why I was surprised, but I was sort of surprised. So tell me a little bit more about how you've already seen all these films.
I follow this blog, and I follow what movies are rumored to be up for the awards. Sometime like 1st of October, I start following really intently, looking at IndieWire. That's the website I choose to go to. See what they predict is going to be your best picture, your best director, and all that. And I start just saying, okay, I'll try to go through as many of them as I can. And then when the Golden Globes were announced, I started saying, okay, I got to get through these. Because at the time I was probably 11 or 12 when I first saw the Academy Awards. It's just fascinated me. You know? I love the whole process. And that was one of the first lists of movies I would check off is movies that have won the Academy Award for Best Picture. You know, because I feel like that's something you're supposed to.
That's an easy list to start with if you're trying to get to 10,000.
So, well, I mean, this was before I was even doing this. Just a list of just, hey, I'm going to see them. So
were there any nominations, particularly in sort of the big categories, that surprised you?
I think some people were a little surprised that Ridley Scott didn't get a nomination for The Martian. I really wasn't. It doesn't surprise me now because we've seen it come in now for about 2 or 3 months. But it does, I guess, if you'd asked me this time last year, or even as late as June, George Miller nominated for Mad Max Fury Road, I would have been just like, no way. That did not happen. I thought Star Wars had an outside chance to break into Best Picture nomination, but it, you know, I guess Mad Max sucked all of the love that could have gone to it. It had already kind of, you know, eaten that up. So,
well, another interesting point with Star Wars, at least, was just the idea that it was a fun movie to go see. It was expertly executed as a movie, but in terms of originality.
You think Mad Max?
You can have a fair.
How does those debates not apply to Mad Max Fury Road?
Well, granted, but I think even more so because of just the monolith that is Star Wars.
I could have seen a case made for
I would say too. Before you say that, I'd say too. Mad Max, at least. It may not have been completely different from previous Mad Max movies, but it was kind of different.
Well, that series has run
most of the everything we've
you
seen.
You say it's not that different. That series has run the gamut.
That's true.
The first movie is like Death Wish, the Australian Death Wish. I mean it's very gritty, it's very real, and the second movie you get a little bit of like a post-apocalyptic 70s style, so it still has a little bit of, you know, whatever to it, and although it may have come out in the early 80s, but it still has that sort of, not quite camp, but a little bit of bizarre. The third movie is straight on camp.
It is just over the top.
And to follow that up with a movie that people are like, oh, it's one of the best, how do you do that?
The omission that surprised me was that in that movie, the central character of the movie is not Mad Max.
No, it's Furiosa.
It's Furiosa, and Charlize Theron didn't get a nomination.
Well,
for
none
Best
of the actors
actress.
Did. He didn't.
I'm
either.
Pretty surprised
he got
by that.
His for The Revenant, which whatever.
we don't need to follow that.
I mean, that's okay.
Up
He's okay in it, but I mean, the movie The Revenant lives and dies on Leo. You know, Tom Hardy was in it. Okay. What we really learned this year was the MVP of 2015. Now, he didn't get any actual nominations himself, but Domhnall Gleeson was in everything.
Yeah,
he was in Star Wars. He was in Ex Machina. He was
Ex
in
Ex Machina.
Well, whatever. Ex Machina. He was in Brooklyn. He was in Star. I mean, he was in The Revenant. He's in everything. Like, it was just where? How did he find the time to do all of this? Like, what an amazing year he had. I could have seen. You could have made a case that Harrison Ford deserved
an supporting actor.
You could have made a case for that. The problem with that is that's the exact slot that Sylvester Stallone got. Like, for the same reasons that you would have given it to Harrison Ford are the same reasons you're giving it to Sylvester Stallone in this movie. It's sort of a career achievement type award, or we really like you, and here's an excuse to reward you for that.
Well, I think, though, too, Harrison Ford, if he was snubbed, Harrison Ford wouldn't have
He does
been
have
a
one Oscar
actor.
Nomination.
He was the lead actor in that film. I don't
oh,
think you could
no,
have
no, no, no.
Actor.
He didn't show up until, like, 40 minutes in. Of course, now there is, this happens every year. There are always people that get angry about people that campaign in categories they don't feel like they should be. Like, in Carol, Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara are really co-leads. But they campaign Rooney Mara as best supporting actress so that they don't have to compete against each other.
Right.
And this happens all the time.
And they campaign kind of, so in the category you think you can possibly
Yes, yes.
Win.
You try to plot somebody. Well, like it happened last year, a lot of people were a little upset that in J.K. Simmons, who wound up winning best supporting actor for Whiplash, a lot of people said he's the co-lead of the movie. I mean, he has just as much screen time.
Well, we're going to get into those different categories. And Brian, talk about who you kind of want to win in each category,
okay.
Who you think is going to win in each category. But one thing we might need to say while we're talking about just surprises, snubs, omissions, is again, this is the second year in a row no actor nominations of people of
color. Non-Caucasian.
So what do you kind of think about that? Do you think that's a fair criticism?
I mean, I do understand. And I know that if you are a person, a non-white person who is watching films, I know you probably do feel alienated. But, you know, I will say a couple of things. The president of the Motion Picture Academy is an African-American woman. They asked an African-American, Chris Rock is the host. And up going into this year, the past three winners of the Best Director Award were Ang Lee for Life of Pi, Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity, and Alejandro Iñárritu for Birdman, and he may win again this year. And you talk about back-to-back Academy Awards for Best Director is a rare and difficult achievement. So while I don't think that you can say the Academy has any sort of like institutional bias against non-white people necessarily, although clearly the acting awards are the most visible awards and
most,
the ones we see.
I'm
sympathetic to you. And I certainly, you could have put Michael B. Jordan into Best Actor Picture and taking out Bryan Cranston or Matt Damon, and I would have been fine with that. I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem with it at all. I know some people thought Idris Elba might get nominated for Beasts of No Nation, but that movie is A, it's on Netflix primarily, and B, it was a little boring.
Well, all right, well, speaking of boring is kind of the supporting role sometimes.
Okay, it can be. Although sometimes they're Like Whiplash last year, J.K. Simmons was phenomenal.
But this year, you find the
Best Supporting Actress.
Best Supporting Actress role, not one that just makes you very excited. Tell us really quick, who's nominated?
Okay.
Who you think's going to win?
Okay, Jennifer Jason Leigh for The Hateful Eight, Rooney Mara for Carol, Rachel McAdams for Spotlight, Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl, and Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs. Alicia Vikander was nominated for the wrong movie. She should have been nominated for Ex Machina. She was phenomenal in that movie as the AI that comes to life as a robot.
Right.
She was fantastic. The Danish Girl, she was okay. Again, that's one of those category fraud situations where she could have been lead actress. I mean, she is the lead actress in the film. I kind of think Jennifer Jason Leigh may win. I think she may wind up being the female version of Christoph Waltz, I guess.
Hmm.
You know, I think she might. Right. I personally, I really enjoyed Steve Jobs, and I would give it to Kate.
Kate Winslet. And those were the two Golden Globe winners.
I think Jennifer Jason Leigh will win, I think. Guys, we're
right now. Academy tends to like to award Tarantino.
Well, this is Jennifer Jason Leigh. This is her first nomination, and she's had a pretty respectable career. Never been nominated, so I think she might pull it out. Although the love for that movie isn't as strong as it was for Django or Inglourious Basterds. He was not nominated for Best Screenplay this year, which is a bit of a surprise. Neither was Aaron Sorkin, but I think people are probably in a little bit of Aaron Sorkin overload, where they're just kind of over him.
All right, what about actor in a supporting role? Your nominees are Christian Bale for The Big Short, Tom Hardy for The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo for Spotlight, Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies, and Sylvester Stallone for Creed.
It flies victory lap. It is. It's crazy to think that Rocky won Best Picture in 1976, so 40 years later. A, he's still playing the same character, and B, he's going to win an Oscar for playing a character that was the star of a movie that won Best Picture 40 years ago. And I'm pretty sure he's going
to
win.
So that is who you want to win? I think both.
Well, Mark Ruffalo was okay in Spotlight, but whatever.
Do you think there's someone preferred, who should have been nominated in that category?
I would have preferred, and I kind of, going into, before the nominations, I kind of thought that Michael Keaton would get the nomination in Best Supporting Actor, and I thought he would win, because I thought it might be a bit of a makeup for the fact that they snubbed him and didn't let him win last year for Birdman.
Hmm.
So it might have been not really a do-over, but sort of a way to acknowledge, because the Academy does have a history of, like, when a role, okay, you were really good, we're gonna bring it back the next year and give you, you know, an award for a lesser movie, maybe, but we're going to get you that award. Because he, to me, was much better than Mark Ruffalo in Spotlight, although Spotlight's a really tough movie to make interesting. I mean, it managed to turn people investigating pedophilic priests into, like, you know, and it wasn't salacious at all. I mean, but they made the actual work of investigating that into something that was fascinating.
Okay, so we move now to actress in a leading role. Brie Larson for Room, Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, Charlotte Rampling for 45 Years. I don't know how to pronounce this. Sarah C. Ronan for Brooklyn.
Yeah, from Brooklyn. She was in The Atonement when she was a little girl.
And really, Jennifer Lawrence is really being nominated for being Jennifer Lawrence.
Joy was an...
Isn't that true?
Yes. She is the best thing in Joy, but it is not a very good movie. Basically, it's a biopic of the woman that invented the Miracle Mop.
And Kate Blanchett for Carol.
Kate Blanchett for Carol.
No, yes, a biopic for the woman who invented Miracle Mop. But it's just basically Jennifer Lawrence getting nominated. It was sort of like
this is her fourth
Meryl
nomination.
Streep getting nominated for being Meryl Streep.
Well, this is her fourth nomination. She's not going to win a second one before she turns 27. That's not going to happen. Kate Blanchett is not going to win her third Oscar at this point in her career, because she already has two. One for Best Supporting Actress playing Kate Hepburn in The Aviator, and then 2 years ago for Blue Jasmine. She's not going to win a third right now. So, regardless of all you Carol fans out there, it's not going to happen.
Now, who do you want to win?
I want Brie Larson to win. I think Brie Larson will win.
I think
thought Room was a fantastic movie. I would have liked for the little boy in Room, Jacob Tremblay, to have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor, although it was, I guess they wanted to give Spotlight one, and they wanted to give Christian Bale, which I don't understand. He was not even the best actor in the movie. But
that looks like that nomination.
He got the nomination
for The Big Short. That was The Big Short's kind of...
Yeah, he got the nomination. Christian Bale got the nomination because he has the most cachet within the Academy, having already won, and having he's an extreme method actor, so he's paid his dues. Steve Carell was better in the movie, but he doesn't have the sort of credibility within the Academy that Christian Bale does.
Okay, so actor in a leading role, Bryan Cranston for Trumbo, Matt Damon for The Martian, Leonardo DiCaprio for The Revenant, Michael Fassbender for Steve Jobs, Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl. To me, this is one of those where it feels like the obvious front runner
is Leo.
You can't underestimate Eddie Redmayne.
Okay, here's the thing about Redmayne.
And also Bryan Cranston.
Okay, we don't know how much love Bryan Cranston has in the Academy. We know how much love he has in Enemy. although it would be a phenomenal rise to have gone from being a supporting character or the star of Malcolm in the Middle to now
Academy Award winner
and Walter White, like, and one of the most iconic bad guys of all time. The problem with Redmayne is whether he should or shouldn't have won last year for playing Stephen Hawking. The list of men who have won back to back Academy Awards for Best Actor: Spencer Tracy, Tom Hanks. Eddie Redmayne does not join that list.
Okay.
At like 27 years old, that is not happening. Okay. I mean, this is not going to happen.
So do you agree then? Leo's probably to win.
He was good. I mean, it was a tough movie.
Tell you what,
the Bear Mall scene is intense and crazy a scene.
That's what I've heard.
It is really intense.
Crazy. Now, do you think again he should? Is that who you want to win?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't really know if I really like Leo.
I got a soft spot for Matt Damon. I really want Matt Damon.
I like Matt Damon. The Martian was an okay movie. There's nothing wrong with The Martian at all. I mean, it's the kind of movie to where I don't know how much acting he did as much as he was just charismatic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As long as you're charismatic, you can do that and pull that movie. Yeah. Like, Will Smith could have done the same movie and could have done just as good a job, but is he really acting or is he just being his gregarious self, you know?
Before we get to the last two movies, director and best picture, are there any other categories you want to mention just in terms of predictions and that sort of thing?
Well, Inside Out will win best animated feature.
Well,
I mean, that's
duh, that's...
Although I saw Anomalisa the other day, and that is a disturbing movie. I'm a little surprised that Aaron Sorkin and Quentin were left out of the screenplay writing awards. I'm pleasantly surprised that Straight Outta Compton got an award. That was a pretty good movie, actually. And then Best Adapted Screenplay, Emma Donoghue, who adapted her own novel, Room, into first screenplay, she certainly will be doing a good job there. The other categories, I mean, most people, I care what wins, but most people probably do not. So I won't bore them with the details.
Well, there you go.
I will say this, though, that last year, there's a local theater in Birmingham that they will show. The Academy puts out a little reel of all the nominees for Best Animated Short and Best Live Short, and they'll show it at the Edge Theater in Birmingham. And I've gone the last couple of years to watch it, so I'll go there before the awards, and I've seen all of them.
So let's then move on to the last two big category. Best Director.
Well, there's Tom McCarthy for Spotlight. Adam McKay for The Big Short, George Miller, Mad Max Fury Road, Lenny Abrahamson, and Alejandro G. Iñárritu.
The Revenant.
And he won last year for Birdman.
So who do you want to win this year?
I don't know if I want... Well, I would not mind seeing Tom McCarthy win for Spotlight or Alejandro win for The Revenant. Historically, the winner of Best Picture and Best Director have been really linked. But that having been said, last year broke a trend. We had 3 or 4 years in a row where they had split. I was convinced last year there was going to be another split. I thought that was going to be the new norm. But historically, it's been very rare. I think like maybe out of the 88 or 87 winners, I think like maybe 10 of them have been splits where the Best Director was not the Best Picture, which makes sense. I mean, because, you know. So... I think we're going to regress back to the norm, and I think the same film will win Best Picture that wins Best Director, and I think it's going to be The Revenant.
As far as director, I have a soft spot for Adam McKay.
I understand that. And The Big Short was okay. The Big Short had a really good job of explaining complex economic principles and theories in a way that made them entertaining and fun, which I think was a direct result of Adam McKay's experience with Funny or Die and making very short, to-the-point videos served him very well. What they would do is he would have a scene like, here's Margot Robbie in a bathtub, and, you know, she looks nude or whatever. She's just in the, but she's explaining what it is to short something. You know, then they have a scene at a craps table where it's Anthony Bourdain. It's very, very creative, inventive, and that was really the highlight of the movie.
The only thing I might debate you a little bit, you're probably right. I think if the same film is going to win both those awards, I do think it's probably going to be The Revenant.
It might not be.
My just thought, though, is since Ridley Scott wasn't nominated for Best Director that may be a way to...
They already did that to him once.
To...
Because Gladiator won Best Picture. He did not win Best Director.
I know. Well, then, but so then again, there you go. There's some precedent there.
For whatever reason, so maybe The Martian wins Best Picture. There's a knock against Ridley Scott. You know, I find it impossible to think that we could live in a world where George Miller is an Academy Award winner for Best Director and Ridley Scott's not.
I think the dark horse is possibly Room.
I love that. If I was gonna Room. For Best Picture, my pit voice would be Room. I love the movie. I like The Revenant quite a bit, but I think Birdman's better. Although a lot of people disagree with me, it created a lot of anger last year. It was pretty divisive. Like you either loved it or you didn't. And I loved it because I loved Michael Keaton pretty much just tearing his own. I mean, if it'd been anybody else, I don't know that I would have. But playing who what I imagined to be a fictionalized version of himself made me love the movie.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, that... role is what made that movie what it was.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Brian's Oscar predictions. I haven't seen enough of these movies
The only film I will mention...
Opinion.
Now, several of the short... best documentaries are on Netflix Instant Streaming now, and several of the documentary features are on Netflix Instant Streaming. What Happened to Miss Simone is on it. I haven't seen it yet, but one that is on Netflix I recommend you watch is the best animated short film, World of Tomorrow by Don Hertzfeld. He has a very passionate following. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but back in when we were probably coming of age and going to college, there was a short that was floating around called My Spoon is Too Big.
Yes.
That guy.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
He's continuing to make movies kind of like this. In this one, it's a little girl who he recorded his niece, and he just asked her questions to record her. He didn't get her to perform. And it gets her, you know, tells her things, gets her responses, but it's this clone comes back from the future to talk to her original, who's a 4-year-old girl, and it's fascinating. It really is. It really is. It's only like 15, 16 minutes. It's on Netflix Instant Streaming. I encourage you all to watch it. It's really funny. Really good. And well, it should win. I don't know that it will, because I don't know how many people actually watch the best
Well, that's an Oscar movie. Prediction and a review all in one.
Yeah.
That's great. Tell us what your predictions are for the Oscars on Twitter, or by going to 10kmovies.com and dropping a comment in the place to do that where this podcast is posted. Brian, you've already moved into reviews, so maybe give us one more. We're talking about best pictures. Maybe what's something that you might have seen recently that could be nominated, not for an Oscar, but maybe for a Razzie, one of the worst films perhaps of the year that you've seen.
Sometimes
recently.
The Razzies get... a really bad rap. What is nominated for the Razzies this year? Do we remember?
I believe
50 Shades. I know
50 Shades, and
well deserved Razzies.
Pixels.
Not people hate Pixels because they hate Adam Sandler. I mean, it's popular to hate Adam Sandler. I would argue his movie he made for Netflix was enormously worse than the film that it's not The Hateful Eight, but it's something very similar to that. It was horrible. It was a piece of filth. But Pixels was good, I thought. I mean,
okay, tell us more about that.
About Pixels?
Yeah.
Well, it's got Josh Gad. Josh Gad overacts. But Adam's okay. It's got Kevin James in it. You know, as is typical of Adam Sandler's films for like the last 5 years, it's really just an excuse to hang out with his buddies. It's got the guy, Peter, I forget his last name, the guy that plays Tyrion Lannister on Game of Thrones.
Dinklage,
he's in it. He probably a little overacts to not as great, but I enjoy it. Funny thing about Adam Sandler is he did a movie last year, The Cobbler, which I don't know if you saw it or not, directed by Tom McCarthy. Tom McCarthy followed that up with Spotlight. So he went from a movie that was universally reviled by most critics to a movie that he has a chance to win Best Director. So that's pretty... Spotlight has a lot of love. A lot of people do like the movie, and I tell you, the job he did with that movie was phenomenal. So I'm going to give him credit for it, but I find it unlikely. I think you're going to see Alejandro win, which, you know, he's going to join some pretty exclusive company. I'm not 100%, I'm spitballing here, but I think the last person to win back-to-back Best Director Awards was Joseph Mankiewicz in 48-49.
Wow, that is a deep pool. I'm very impressed. And it's also a great way to transition into our top five for this episode, which is top five movies that have been nominated for Best Picture Oscar, but did not win. So there will be some other films that could potentially join this top five list if we again next year.
It's possible, but I don't think any of them regularly. Now, coming at number five, 2012 release, nominated, but did not win, was Les Miserables.
Okay.
I think it lost to Argo. So it was right there, but it just could not quite. Which, you know, I probably liked it better than Argo. Number four, the year before, I think it's 2011, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Okay.
Which a lot of people thought it was the worst film ever nominated.
Yeah,
for Best
and
Picture.
I was about to say, it's another one of those, like, Cloud Atlas that you seem to like.
I do.
And most people don't. And I was surprised, given how
let's put it this
it
way,
was
my,
canned,
like,
that it was even
my
nominated.
My top five Tom Hanks movies looks wildly different from what most people's list.
Now, that was based on a book. It was about one boy's experience
having
lost his father.
Probably.
During 9/11 and his
the movie,
dealing with that grief.
I think people mistook it. And I think the 9/11 setting hurt people from understanding the movie. It was about 9/11, but it wasn't about 9/11. It was about how that boy coped
with
the
loss
of
his
father.
Right.
And to me, it was extremely powerful, in a powerful way in which, you know, an example of the ways in which we speak from beyond the grave to those we loved. I loved it. So, number three, we're going back over 20 years to a movie that I think we all agree should have gotten more love than it did, Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, and that was a tough year.
That's a tough year.
You got Pulp Fiction,
you got Forrest Gump, you got Shawshank. A friend of mine loves Quiz Show, thinks it got robbed. So
The Lion King was that year and wasn't even nominated for Best Picture?
I mean, I think the fifth, they only had five at that point. It was just five only. I think the fifth was Four Weddings and a Funeral, which, how did it even get in the club? Like, what are you doing? Like, four great movies, then this one.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like, you're good, but you're not in this level.
Shawshank
is one of those movies that over years it has just grown much.
It's aged well.
Yeah.
It seems to have aged better.
Whereas Forrest
than
Gump,
Forrest.
Which one, has gotten a lot of, like, backlash. Pulp Fiction is where it is.
Shawshank's kind of the perfect movie because it works so well in a variety
and
of
any
cuts
other
and
year,
edits.
It might have won the Best Picture award.
Right. Any other year, a lot of those pictures could have won the Best Picture. All right.
Number two, going even further back, to like mid-70s, early 70s, The Exorcist.
Okay. What won that year?
I don't know. I don't know what year it was. I think I want to say it was like 71. So I want to say it was probably The French Connection.
Mm-hmm.
But it may have lost The Godfather. It may have been 72, but I don't think so. I think it was 71. But it's a fantastic movie. It's mislabeled from where I see it as a horror movie, although it certainly has horror elements to it. It's a very deeply spiritual film about the problem of evil.
Okay. All right. Well,
to me, and number one, we're going back to 2012 again. I don't think we've talked about this movie before, but I absolutely adore this movie, Beast of the Southern Wild.
You have mentioned that before, and we need to take some time maybe to talk about that film and some others. I haven't seen it, but I've heard nothing but good things about the film.
I mean, the little girl,
beautiful.
Imogene Wallace, is just, she's fantastic. Most of the people involved in the film were not professional actors, which you hear that a lot. I mean, I think that adds something to film. But it really was a great movie. I think it lost to Argo, too. Which, you know, whatever. Argo's a fine film. I don't want to disparage it. It was a very entertaining movie. But Beast was just, I think it's in my top 10 all time.
Well, thank you so much, Brian, for sharing those with us. You may have your own favorite movies that were nominated but didn't win, or maybe movies like The Lion King or Almost Famous or other movies that you thought were really good and should have been nominated but weren't. Let us know at 10kmovies on Twitter or at 10kmovies.com. Hope you have a fantastic Oscar night, that you laugh at all of Chris Rock's hopefully well-timed jokes, and that any betting pools you have going on turn out to be a success. Until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11. Have a good one, everybody.